So please bow your heads with me and let's go ahead and pray for Pastor John. Dear God, we just come before you right now. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you just go ahead and use Pastor John as your vessel. Amen. We continue to pray that God will use him this morning to bring forth his word that will penetrate our hearts, our souls. Amen. So that we can go ahead and continue to honor God and praise God and give him all the honor and all the glory he deserves. And we ask that you continue to use Pastor John this morning, using him to bring forth your word. And everybody says,
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm glad somebody let Eddie in. Alrighty. Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I'm glad somebody opened the door for Eddie. The door was opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God, our Heavenly Father, he loves us. He loves us more than we could ever, ever imagine. And he knows exactly what we need. He knows how to give good gifts to his children, to us. He knows what he's doing. He knows what is good, and he knows what we need at any given time. But the good gift that he's talking about right here, the gift that he promised to give us, is the Holy Spirit. What better gift could he give us than the Holy Spirit? Acts 2:39 says, the promise of the Holy Spirit. See, he promised us there, right there in that passage. And now he says, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your children and all who are far off, which would include us, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And if we're here today, God's called us. The reason the Holy Spirit is such a wonderful gift is because it's the Holy Spirit who enables us to live for Christ, to live a fruit-filled life for Christ, to live a victorious life. A victorious life, even in the midst of this fallen world. And now, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, there are certain things, certain attributes or characteristics that we should see developing in our lives. It should be growing within us, should be maturing within us. And God calls these things the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are really the attributes of Jesus. These are the kind of characteristics that we would see in Jesus. And as we are being transformed, we are being made into his image. We are growing and maturing into the image of Christ. We've already looked at love and joy, peace and patience. So today we're going to be looking at kindness. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, it tells us that love is kind. And if you remember, love is the most important thing of all. It's the first on the list of the attributes, the fruit of the Spirit. God is love. Love, he said, is the answer to all these things, that we have a continuing debt, a continuing obligation to love one another. Let no debt remain outstanding except your continuing debt to love one another. And if you look at love, Corinthians explains love, and the very first thing it said love was patient, but the next thing is kind. Love is kind. Kindness is the conduct or the action. Kindness is what emanates. It comes out of love. Kindness is, in reality, love in action. That's what kindness is. You think about that. It is love in action. Godly kindness has a zeal for doing good things for others. It's zealous for doing good for others, to showing them love, being friendly, being generous, being gentle, you know, and trying to make other people feel good and feel good about themselves and about their life. That's kindness. We want to help other people. It's the opposite of being harsh or being cruel or crabby or condemning or temperamental. Kindness is not stingy, it's not selfish, it's not cynical, it's not judgmental, it's not temperamental, it's the opposite. It's being the bearer of love, it's bringing that love and depositing it on somebody. It's love in action. And this kindness originated in God. And it must be in us, it must be God-inspired, Holy Spirit-inspired. As Christians, we are supposed to be kind, and kind for God's sake, towards others. We do it because we're God's children, because we're God's servants, because we love God, and God has called us to be kind towards others. So we don't just depend on our human kindness. That's a nice thing. There is a human. There are people who are not Christians who are kind-hearted. But this goes beyond that. This is a Spirit-led kindness. It goes beyond our human ways. Luke 6:27, 35 says, through 35, says, to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Those are not easy things. Those are not easy things. And the normal human kindness probably stops at the door to many of those things. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. In other words, he's saying, yeah, the world can be kind up to a point. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. He is kind to the ungrateful and the unwicked. Why should I be kind to the ungrateful and the unwicked? Why should I be kind to someone who's been mean to me? Why should I be kind to that person who snarls at me and looks at me, down at me, and all that kind of stuff? Because God said so. And in our natural flesh, no way. But in the Spirit, if we're led by the Spirit, God will show us when and how to be kind. Think of how long we were ungrateful. Think of how long we were unkind towards God. I don't think there's anybody in here who was born a Spirit-filled, committed, dedicated Christian. Think of how long we neglected Him. We rejected Him. We did our own thing. How long we took from Him without giving anything back. Think about how long we enjoyed God's kindness towards us and yet still rejected Him. See, He's showing us, He's letting us see how He treated people, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked, and that His kindness was done for a reason. And so God was still kind to us. He was still merciful to us, and now He's calling us to be like Him, to be His ambassadors, to be, yes, even kind to our enemies. Sometimes that's no fun. Sometimes we feel like we're being taken. And now we have to be led by the Spirit. We really do. Because we don't want to be foolish. I'm not saying we walk into, you know, some place where they're going to, you know, tear you apart. I'm not saying that we're supposed to be foolish. I'm saying that we're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God and be kind as God would lead us. And God knows what people need that kindness, and oftentimes it's those very same rude, mean people that just need someone to come in and be kind to them. Speaking of enemies, as I was talking there, be kind to our enemies, I was thinking of Islam. Islam has declared itself to be an enemy of Christianity. I don't have to say it. They have declared it. They have demonstrated that the Christians are their enemies, because if you are a part of Islam and you convert to Christianity, you know what happens? They kill you. They'll kill you. They'll behead you. And oftentimes we find that they use the sword to go out and destroy whole villages, whole towns that are Christians. They see themselves as a holy war, jihad against Christianity. They themselves have declared that they are the enemies of Christians all throughout the world. Islam. But then we have individual Muslims. Now, those people can still be touched by the kindness of Christianity. We're not going to change Islam. We're not going to change the whole thing. But there's individuals within that, many of them. There are many reformed Muslims. Some are on speaking tours. We had a woman here one time. And these individual Muslims can be touched by kindness in action. Our job is to overcome, is not to become overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. So I was thinking, for instance, of Cheryl. I don't see Cheryl here today, but you know, we've talked about it, you've heard about it. Cheryl Brooks has a sewing class that she does. Our church backs her, and it's a sewing class as an outreach to Muslim women. To show them, the ultimate goal of that is to show them the love of Christ. I have a Muslim friend myself, somebody that I see on a regular basis. And, you know, I've shared with him about Christ. And just recently, he had to go to the hospital for open heart surgery, just 2 weeks ago. And you know what he did? He asked me to pray for him. So I said, certainly I'll pray for you. So I put my hand on him right there, standing right in front of his office on Park Street, and prayed for him, and I prayed in Jesus' name. And he looked right at me afterwards and said, thank you so much for praying for me. And he said, please continue to pray for me. And I said, I will. I'll pray for you every day. And in my mind, I'm thinking that you get saved. I've called him, you know, since then. And, you know, he's got a long road to go to recovery. But it's funny because I've called up and talked, and I ended up getting his brother on the phone even. And his brother was very, very pleasant to me. And he said even, continue to pray for my brother. He told me that you're praying for him. So see, I'm trying to make an impact into their lives for Christ. So this man's a good man. He's not a radical. He's not a terrorist. He's somebody who was raised up in that. He was captured by that. And my job is to rescue him. I know there are others who have relationships with Muslims. I've heard different stories about people that go to school or work with Muslims. And yes, sometimes they're very hard-nosed, hard-line, and you're not going to get anywhere with them. But then there are lots of others who are very open. It's a great opportunity to share the love of Christ through the kindness, through the Holy Spirit, through God's love in action. And then we do what we can do, and then we allow God to work in their hearts. And this kindness could be the very thing that sets them free from the trap of the devil. Now, in light of what I just said, listen to the scripture. The Lord's servant, in 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. Opponents, I would consider them opponents, must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. How do we do all that? How could we possibly be a part in all of that? By showing kindness. Love in action. And this kindness that I'm talking about, as I said before, it's not just random, as we see maybe on bumper stickers. And there's nothing wrong with random acts of kindness. Kindness in, for anybody, from anybody, is a nice thing. But we're talking about God-motivated, Holy Spirit-inspired kindness. That kindness has a primary objective. There's a reason for that kindness. And it's right there in that scripture. Be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful, in the hope that God will grant them repentance. So the primary objective of that kindness is not just to be kind, although just being kind is a wonderful thing. But we're trying to show them God. We're trying to show them the love of God, the love of Christ. And so as its primary objective, it is repentance. It is them now getting knowledge of the truth and salvation. So we see the difference here between Islam. When they try to make converts, they use a sword. You could become part of Islam, or we use this sword and it's off with your head. And we use the sword too. But our sword is a different sword. Our sword is the Word of God. And we use love. Love in action. Kindness. We can love people, but if we don't do anything, what good does it do? Remember James, he said, show me your faith. But if I don't see action, if I don't see any faith, if I don't see any works, then your faith is dead. Well, if we say we love people, but we don't do anything, then in a sense that love is dead. Love isn't just a feeling. It's action. I've heard it said many times, love is a verb. to love. If you love me, you will do as I command. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Those are the words of Jesus. And so he commands us then to be kind to people, to show that love in action. Now, obviously, we're not just talking about Muslims. I just brought that up as a... I want us to see, because, you know, there's so much going on in our country right now, and we don't want to get caught up in just, you know, blanket fear, hatred, all those kind of things. We want to make sure we understand what's happening here. There are spiritual things going on in our nation. There is a spirit of Islam, and it's an ungodly spirit. It's an evil spirit. And then there are those who are caught up, just like there are, this could be a spirit of adultery or anger or, you know, other things that people, murder. I mean, people can be caught up in all kinds of things. Our job is to help them get free, to set them free from the traps of the devil. That happens to be the current big thing. At one time, it used to be communism. That was the big scare in our country and in our world. Now, to many people, it's Islam. And there's no need to fear. There is no need to fear Islam. Our God is stronger. Our God is greater. No one, nothing is going to overtake our God. So we don't ever need to be fearful of that kind of thing. So obviously we're not talking just about Muslims. We're talking about anyone who is not a believer in Jesus Christ. Those, in a sense, would be considered our opponents because they're on the other side. Even though we may be friendly with them, they have a different viewpoint. They're living for the world. Jesus said, those who are not with us are for us. Or those who are not for us are against us. So there are those that are out there that would be, we consider in a sense an opponent, but we love those. See, God wants us to love those people. When you're at work, I mean, Eddie's talked about being on the line at work, and sharing the gospel with those people that are working right across from him. Sometimes people that he's known for ages. And you just keep sharing. He was talking about things like that just the other night, on Wednesday night. And you know, we always want to be that light wherever we are. And the way we do that is by meeting someone's need with an act of kindness. Maybe they just need a hug that day. Maybe they need an encouraging word. Maybe they need help because their lawnmower just broke. Maybe they need a ride. Maybe they need this or that or the other thing. Who knows what it is? This kindness of God's is one of the greatest evangelistic tools that we'll ever be able to use. It's one of the best of all times. It opens more doors than any spoken message or any tract that we give out, you know, or any rebuke that we might give to somebody. You know, you see those people out there, you know, sometimes they have these signs and they say these things that, like, you know, go to hell, you're going to hell if you don't repent or something like that, something that's condemning, and that's not going to... Who's going to look at that and say, oh my gosh, I better repent? They just look at them and they think they're fools. But when we show kindness and we love these people and they get to know us, I've had so many people ask me over the years, you know, the reason for the joy that's within me. The reason why I have a smile on my face, the reason, and it says, and always be prepared to give an account or a reason for the joy that is within you. That's God's word. What is the reason that I have hope? What is the reason that I can be joyful in the midst of trials? Because I know that all these trials are fading and passing and they don't mean anything. What really matters is that I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know where I'm going. And because of that, I can deal with anything. I can deal with anything. may not like it sometimes, but we can deal with it. Simple kindness, showing God's love in action. Meeting people at their point of need. That, you know, right there when they're in that place of need, what a great time to look at that as an opportunity and say, ah, because that's what God is doing. When God sees that need, He brought you to that place to be the answer to that need. That's why we need to hear from the Holy Spirit, because He'll show us right then, right at that spot, He'll say, step in right there. He really will. How is it that we miss out on so many opportunities to show kindness when I believe deep down we really do want to? I believe that every one of you here has a desire to be kind to people, and if you knew you could make a difference in someone's life, I'm sure you would jump at the chance. But so often we miss out on those opportunities. Why is that? Well, I would say that probably one of the main reasons that we're not as kind as we could be is because of our busyness. Sometimes we try to cram too much into our already busy schedule. We got so much going on. We're running here, we're running there, and before you know it, we are being controlled by what's called the tyranny of the urgent. And sometimes we just pass by or we ignore this fleeting thought that as we see something, we hear something, and we think, oh, I could help there, or I'd like to help there, but I'm too busy. I can't do it right now. We pass up that call for help, that need that someone has, or that opportunity to just do something nice for someone. And that fleeting thought that we had could very well have been the Holy Spirit saying, hey, slow down. That person right there, I brought you by here right now, just right here, not right at this time. And we say, oh, but I got to get over here. Oh, the show starts in 10 minutes. Oh, I'm running late, like always. I got to be at work. Oh, you know, I can't do that. I said I'd be over here. Oh, no, I'm hungry. I got to go eat. No, they're my favorite shows on TV. Whatever. A million reasons. And we pass by that opportunity to show God's love as an act of kindness. Sometimes it's our pride that gets in the way of being kind. We have this inflated sense of self-importance, and we think that our need is more important than everybody else's need. Everybody else that we meet, and we think, sometimes we see maybe their need, but we think, but I need that too, and I need it more. Because we just assume that our need is greater. We don't think it maybe, but in reality what we're saying is, I'm more important, at least to me. Right? I mean, don't we sometimes or oftentimes think that we're more important, at least to me? Where God's Word tells us in Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility consider others better than ourselves. Why would He say that? Why would God want us to consider others better? Oh, He's better than me. Yeah, she's better than me. I think so. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, all that. Is that what He means, to sit around and think that everybody's better than us? No. Fred's better than me. Mister, you're a better man than I. You know, no, that's not what God's saying. But He wants us to recognize that when somebody has a need, what He's saying is that, you know what, my needs aren't so all-consuming and so all-important. I can help that person right now. Sometimes it's that old greedy human nature that gets in our way. And we've all got it. I got to get mine before the greedy people do. We get so consumed with getting ahead and getting what we want that we just don't even see the needs of others, because we're just thinking about what we need, what we want. Instead of taking the opportunity to help somebody, we're too busy grabbing our own, and sometimes we step right over them to get what we want. Sometimes we might pick up a critical spirit and we see nothing but the flaws in other people. And we end up making mountains out of molehills, and in our mind we're thinking, well, they're no good. This, blah, blah, blah. They can't do this. They don't do that right. They don't have, you know, they're upsetting me. They're upsetting me. And so because we start thinking like that, why do we want to be kind to them? And see, that's a problem. We're, all these reasons are just reasons I'm throwing out there. And there's probably hundreds more reasons for any one individual why we would miss out on that opportunity to be kind. And sadly, when we actually probably really, we really like the idea of being kind to somebody. I would hope you would. Especially knowing that God's called us to do that. And it's a fruit of the Spirit. But what it all boils down to, all of those and all the other ones, it boils down really to one thing. And that is that we are being led by the flesh instead of the Spirit. That's what happens. We just get going. We just start moving. We just start acting. We start doing in our flesh. And we don't take the time to listen, to consider, to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. We don't get His direction. We don't follow His leading. It's too bad, because not only did that other person miss out on a blessing then, but I'll tell you what, we missed out on one too. When we miss out on being kind at the leading of the Holy Spirit, we miss out, period. We miss our blessing. There are consequences to being kind. Consequences. When you say consequences, right away you think, oh, that sounds bad. There can be good consequences. And there are. There are good consequences to being kind. God has an interesting system set up. It's sort of a secret way of rewarding people for their kindness. There's no secret handshakes. There's no secret rings. There's no secret underwear or anything like that. But there, God has a way that's not really obvious, that seems to go against all natural thinking, all worldly, fleshly thinking, but a way to reward people for kindness. Whenever we are kind to someone, God has a way of causing us to be the primary beneficiary. No matter how much we give, no matter whether it's our time, whether it's our talents, whether it's our abilities, whether it's our money, it doesn't matter what it is. When we're kind and we use what we have to be a blessing, to show love in action to someone, we are going to be blessed. We will be the primary beneficiary. You know what? It's an irrefutable law of God's. You may not believe it, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Give and it will be given to you. You know the other one? If you lose your life, you will gain your life. If you try to keep your life, you'll lose it. Same kind of principle. It boggles the human mind. We can't quite grasp it. If I give and I give, then I'm losing, right? I'm losing. I have less now. I must be losing. So if I continue to be kind and I give and I give, then I'm going to lose. No. Give and it will be given to you. From that same person? Probably not. Who's it going to come from? I don't know who it's going to come from, but I know who's going to direct it. It's going to come from God. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure. In other words, you're saying you're going to press it down, you know, pack it down in there, you know. You ever put leaves in those bags? You know how much you can press in one of those big bags? When you keep pressing down and pressing down, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. In other words, if you just give generously, and it's just going to be generously coming back to you. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please his flesh, from that flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let us not become weary in being kind, doing good, being kind. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not stop, if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good or be kind to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So we should never get tired of being good, of doing good, of being kind, and showing God's love in action. That's what he's saying. Don't ever quit. Don't ever get tired. Don't give up. Yes, sometimes it gets thrown back in your face by people. Yes, it will. Sometimes you might even be accused wrongly that you only did it for this reason or that reason. So what? We're not doing it for them. Even though we are in a sense, and they're the ones benefiting, we're doing it for God. We're being kind because we're God's servant. We're his ambassador. And so we do this kindness over and over and over. That's how we can do it for our enemies. That's how we can do it for people who will come against us. And those kind words sometimes turn away wrath. Sometimes those kind words, it says, are like pouring a burning coals on top of somebody's head. It doesn't matter. We still do it. If God tells us to do it, we do it. At the proper time, we'll reap a harvest. Someday when we least expect it, but when we most need it, that's when God's favor will be poured out on us. Oftentimes that favor comes from another person, one of his people that listened to him and now performed that act, an act of kindness to us, right when we needed it. I remember one time when I was driving on our vacation. We were going out to Grand Haven. My gas tank said I had 60-some miles left on my odometer thing. We had about 3 miles to go to a gas station. So I said, I can make it, you know, to the gas station, no problem. It was getting low, but, you know, I got a little thing on there. You push a button, it says, you have 60 miles left. So I get off at my exit. Now I got about 2 miles to go, if that. I get off on my exit, and because my car is going up on this exit, my car dies. My gas tank, I guess because it was on an angle, stopped. No more gas. So now here we are, stuck in a trailer, and we're 2-3 miles, you know, from this gas station. We're actually, there's nothing right around there. You had to go, it was probably at least 3 miles, I'd say. And you had to go, you know, all through all this, like, road that was in the middle of these marshes and stuff, and there's nobody around there. So Carol says, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go out and hitchhike. Something I haven't done for a long time, you know. And that's all right. You know, I'm thinking, that's all right. God will take care of me. And I really believe that. So I'm just waiting. Just who's it going to be? Who's going to be the one that gets to be my Savior? And honestly, that's the way I looked at it. So I just stood out there and went like this, you know, big old smile on my face. One car goes by. Second car pulls by, but then he stops. He says, you out of gas? I says, yeah. And he says, you need a ride? I said, yeah. He goes, hop on in. I says, cool, okay. So I get in. He goes, you got a gas can? I says, no. And he goes, I got one in the trunk. He goes, I can bring you up to the gas station. So we drive up to the gas station. He says, how are you getting back? I says, probably going to hitchhike. He says, I'll take you back. So he takes me all the way back, waits till I put the gas in, make sure it starts up, and then says, I'll see you later. Sometimes, I can't believe it, and my wife can't believe it, the things that strangers do for me. She'll say, like, how do you get people to do all these things? You know, and stuff. It's like on the phone. I mean, people that call up and they're, you know, I ask them to help me out and they call me back later and say, I just want to let you know I took care of that problem for you. It's like, why? Why do they do that for me? God's pouring the kindness back towards me when I need it. Because I believe it. I believe in kindness. I believe in being kind to people. And I just believe that God's going to send somebody my way too. And so I'm looking for that kind person. Hi, hey, are you the one? Are you the one? You know, instead of, you know, you know, you gotta look the part. You gotta look like you're waiting for, you know, someone to help you. You can't, you know, go out there and look like you're ready to kill somebody. You know, you're a mass murderer waiting for someone to pick you up. You're not going to stop. So it's funny how many random strangers have helped me over my life. You know, I truly believe it's God. I really do. I mean, I know people can be nice, and there are many nice people out there. And every one of those people bless me. And I always try to be a blessing to them, too, in any way I can. And I often get to share the Lord with them. And, you know, sometimes because of their kindness, I get to be kind to them, too. Because they're kind to me, I get to share and give them the best kindness I could ever give somebody, share the Lord with them. I love telling people, like, you know, like something like, well, I'm going to church, or I'm a pastor, or, you know, in church last Sunday, and then they, to see if they bite. Because it gives me an opportunity to be kind to them and talk about Christ. That's a kindness on our part. Just sharing the gospel is being kind with somebody. If we do it in love. In love. It's amazing how God can pull people out of the woodwork to bless His people in time of need. He will. He will. God has never stopped showing His loving kindness to us. And He never will. Because you know why? It's His nature. He's kind. That's why one of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, because that is the nature of God. We serve a wonderful God who is kind. He's so kind to us. And He wants us to just share it with other people what that kindness is all about. We don't deserve His kindness. We never did. And yet He continually was kind to us until we finally gave in and received Him as our Lord and Savior. And now there's so many more people out there who need that same kindness. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Unfailing kindness. He never stops being kind. Can we pick up that habit? Now He wants us to be filled with His Holy Spirit, to grow in that fruit, to grow in the Spirit, to be filled, constantly filled with His Spirit, to be His ambassador, to be His representative, to be His agent for good in this world. To share His kindness. To demonstrate His kindness. His love in action. Making the most of every opportunity as we are led by the Spirit. If I could have the prayer team come forward. I'm actually going to be coming back to this. There's still more about kindness. Kindness is a cool thing. It's so easy to be kind if we just allow ourselves to let God flow through us. Every one of us here can be kind to people all over the place, to random people. You'd be surprised how easy it is to find opportunities to be kind when you start looking. After a while, it becomes so second nature, you just try to be kind. It just comes out. You don't have to even try. It just comes out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for the unfailing kindness that you have shown us. We thank you that you rescued us, that you called us out of the darkness because of your kindness. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who is working in our lives. We thank you that this fruit, these characteristics, these attributes are growing in us, that we are growing in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Lord, fill us up. Fill us up even more with your Spirit right now, right here, today. As we hear this message, Lord, I just pray that we would be filled with kindness, filled with love, joy, filled with your peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Lord, fill us up. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.